Moin, Hamburg.
Moin, Hamburg.
Können wir ein bisschen mehr Licht ins Publikum?
Can we get a little bit more light into the audience? We want to see you. Ah, ja. Nice. Audience. Ooh. We start in time, 15 minutes past. We're doing a little bit curiosity satisfaction. Who's from Hamburg? What would you say, 20% maybe? And who's from Leipzig? Nice that we could drag you along. Great that you could make it here. Who's from Berlin?
Okay.
All right. Maybe the middle? Yeah, okay. Who brought kids?
Fair. Auch, sehr ordentlich.
Pretty nice. Pretty neat. The offspring. Very important. Who brought their parents?
Hey!
I think we need to think about how it is. I can still remember how I smuggled in the mothers of speakers in the house at the Kölnisch Park and stuff, right? I think we should do something about that. I think that happens on its own. It sorts itself out due to the demographics. The market will take care of it. Well, as a generation, we need to take care of a lot of things. We need to explain the printer to our parents and the internet, and now we need to explain the printer to our children. Who is proud that your children know what a fax is? Aren't you ashamed?
Wer hat dieses Jahr ein Faxgerät, also ein physisches Faxgerät benutzt?
Who used a physical fax this year?
Okay. Und wer musste so über Weihnachten bei Verwandten
had the pleasure to fix the internet with friends and family?
Wer hat seinen älteren Verwandten keinen Adblocker installiert?
Who did not install adblockers at their older relatives? Be ashamed! Maybe it was already there. What do you mean it was already there? That's, I cannot believe that. All three were already on there. Yeah. Those are the kids, no? Yeah, let's start. It's 15 past. All right, are you all here? Whee! Security Nightmares 21. At the 37th Congress in 24 years. Not 21 years, because there was something the last three years. Shit happens. 10 years ago, we were at the CCH for the first time, so it's a jubilee. I looked it up. I thought we could have a little bit of fun with the number 21. I had ideas age of maturity, but it didn't really work out. Who is here for the 21st time? What?
So funktioniert Brauchtumspflege.
Well, that's how the maintenance of tradition works.
Well,
we looked into the abyss for you again and tried not to lose hope. That's not that simple. I always, for the look back, I open Heise in the archives, and then I open Heise in the archives, jump to January, and they say, patch now, thousands of Citrix servers are still vulnerable. And you think, what? Which month do we have? Ah, we have every month. Ah. All right. Are you happy already? Only 2 more years until it's 30 years of macrovirus. So it's an exploit technique that becomes an old timer soon. Maybe it gets a different license plate. And after 35 years, it's history, and it can go to the museum.
Aber nur mit Herkunftsnachweis.
Yeah, but only with proof of authenticity.
Also, wer sein Virus einreichen
well,
will,
if you want to submit your virus, you have 7 years to be creative how to get it into the museum.
Genau. Nur wenn er,
only, you mean, it has to be that good that it works for Excel 1.0 as well as for the current Excel?
Yeah.
Yeah. But Microsoft wanted to get rid of those macro thingies. Yeah, but then they need to offer something new. But they had something. Didn't they want to make Word or Excel be able to implement Python? Ah, but in the cloud. Yeah, in the cloud. Right. Well, we are often criticized by the audience that we tell this ourselves. What are we supposed to do? I mean, a lot of things just die out. Sure. Those jokes, why not do something with wood? Or maybe with flowers? Recently, who was at a carpenter's, you might have taken note that you can't get out of the problem by working with wood. There is a CC router or a saw with an AI that tries to get your finger. And in the back room, there is SAP. Oh, well. 10 years ago. 10 years ago, we had the 30C3. I know it doesn't really work out, but that's how it was. It was the year 2013, the Snowden year. We predicted the baseband apocalypse. That was like the first real baseband exploits. Baseband are the chips in smartphones that talk to the mobile network. The second computer in your phone, not the one where the apps and the advertisement runs on, but the one that talks to the network. And they got a bit bigger, and we thought, huh, when that started, maybe it starts for real. And then it turned out we weren't wrong, but it was like a slow apocalypse, like not really became a problem, because there was always stuff that was easier to exploit. Well, if the forest is burning and nobody's looking, but those analogies don't really work, unfortunately, that's always the problem when explaining. So what saved us from that apocalypse? They managed to patch those things quick enough. Oh, no! Bullshit. God, no. Basement patching works as like someone says, hello, we have something, and it takes half a year, and then they say, ah, there's really something, and then they do a patch, and that goes towards the telephone companies that use those chips, and then they need to deploy that, and you know, and typically the patch arrives shortly before the end of the life cycle of that chip, if it even ever arrives. But it doesn't matter. Except for secret services, no one's using those things, because there's always a lot more to exploit that's much easier to exploit. And Qualcomm is no longer the monopolizing party. There are other suppliers, Samsung, MediaTek, but it's the same mess. You take note a bit more, because the Google phones are based on Samsung hardware, and they look inside it and they find stuff. And that's why it looks like in the last 10 years nothing happened, other than that new stuff was added, which is true, but they're just equally broken. All right. Well, the other stuff was even easier, so okay, that's also how it could go. We also had the topic IoT, and those two are connected because the IoT things and the running gag with that was in every IoT device is an old Linux distribution. But not just that, also an old WLAN chip and old Bluetooth or Zigbee or something along those lines, or in the modern version, an old baseband. And that has to do with the baseband apocalypse. And the interesting thing is the new level we reached is this year with Bluetooth, not only the implementation is broken, but the whole protocol. Broken specs, that's a mega trend we will keep seeing. Those, it's interesting to read the big specifications up close and find things and use them. Low energy spamming is a very amusing hobby to have. Yeah. Does the first row already notice something? No? All right. Biometrics in smartphones. That's more or less the year in which Apple brought the Touch ID chip and put biometrics into smartphones, and that arrived into the mainstream. Then they thought it was a step in the wrong direction. But hey, the cannot be translated. The wooden path is long and narrow. It was fascinating how the judiciary dealt with that, the courts. In the Western world, except in England, you could not be forced to give out your password. In Great Britain, that's different. But there are a lot more things different nowadays. And with the biometric, it's different now as well. That the telephone is put towards your thumb or in front of your face. There, we weren't lucky in the courts, at least in the local courts. U.S. is on the wrong path here.
Well, that's the way it is, right? Exactly. We did have, we have to apologize. We had these great job propositions for those that want to get some further education or haven't had one. It's new business fields to be explored. And we did say that phishing mail proofreader or Trojan installer psychologist, those that talk to the users and make those designs, that would be one. And we had to learn that this is the first thing that ChatGPT outsourced. Oh, that was outsourced to ChatGPT, sorry. That was the first thing that was outsourced to ChatGPT. And of course, no job is safe. Again, the old motto, and that applies as well. So you would have been able to have a good time 10 years ago. Has anyone picked up on that? Trojan installer psychologist? Do you know anyone who... No? Well, how boring. And the nice thing, software defines everything. The sad realization that there isn't really something like hardware anymore, because there's always a chip somewhere that runs some software and then acts as if it was hardware, as hardware used to be. Way back then, a long time ago, you might not even remember when there were pixels too. Yeah, and by now you have to say that this process has completed. Dedicated hardware, build hardware that really works like hardware, that is more expensive than writing some bad piece of software that does the same thing with the I/O pins. So now we have software defines everything, and there is no more rescue from the Turing apocalypse. And I remembered that when those articles came out saying that you can now steal cars by taking a light out of the cars and putting that on your bus and pulling out that light and connecting it, because then you have that bus, and now you can steal a car without the key. But does that mean that fewer cars were stolen or more? And if you look into the stats and see, hey, well, during all these Corona COVID measures, of course, car theft has declined, but even in 2018 it did decline. And now last year or so, it went back to the level it was in before 2018 or 19. So you cannot really see whether this thing with the radio keys was the problem or not. And yeah, if you look at the grey market offerings, it gets more and more comfortable. The keyless go relink systems, where you leak signals from the front door to the car, they are more and more reliable. There's even support. If it doesn't work, then you get reimbursed for that unlock credit. So it's all defined in software, and it's all a subscription now. Everything's a subscription model. Stealing cars on a subscription. Yeah, and the last thing from 10 years ago was this issue of military surplus infrastructure. And, well, it's funny, well, not really funny, but interesting, right? It used to be that the military had things and did things, and then at some point maybe it arrived in civil society. Standard example is GPS. And this year, or the last 2 years, a lot of things have just reversed completely. When suddenly in Ukraine, Starlink is used to coordinate military activities, drones are used to deliver grenades, right? While we here haven't even managed to have a pizza delivery this way, it's just completely out of tune, isn't it? What happened to the pizza delivery robots? I believe, I think it didn't really work out. There were some experiments with these robots, but regarding drones, there have always been problems. I think Berlin was now starting the first drone delivery systems for lab samples, but I think these delivery robots on the ground, they were just stolen too often. I thought the problem was that children were sitting down on them. Well, maybe first that and then the other. If you look around here, what would happen if 40 or 50 of these delivery robots would turn up in front of your door, of this door here, and somehow would be looking harmless, lonely, and lost? Who would adopt a delivery robot? Ah, all of you, yeah, of course. And of course, the zinger was the headline a few days ago, that this Chinese espionage balloon that was shot down, it used the internet to telephone home. Right. So, yeah, why call a satellite if there's the internet? I don't know. Has anything improved in the last 10 years? Has anyone found a employer that supplies S/MIME certificates to everyone? Oh, really? There are dozens of you? Does someone have an employer that manages GPG key, that thing, and gets that done? Half of the previous amount? Half a dozen? Yeah, I do call that progress. It's more than 10 years ago, yeah. more than 10 years ago. So, for whom of you have expired certificate caused an IT failure? I wouldn't have believed that. I wouldn't have expected that. Well, that was natural, but still. Now, who has had time off because of that? You've done everything right. Yes. Okay. Oh, I forgot to fill something in. The NNNN is my placeholder. I was going to put a number in here. Sorry, I forgot. But of course, malvertising still is a huge problem. So install adblockers, still one of the best things you can do. And with your families, who of you has not installed an adblocker? Very good. What? For professional reasons? Oh, he is using Lynx as a browser. Well, at least most of you got the joke. Is Lynx still a thing? Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, accusing tone. Of course it is. As if Vim was still a thing, right? Good. And for the statistics, more than 44 0 days in the wild, more have come up, but these were being exploited. And the interesting thing is that 4 to 5 0 days are needed for a good Trojan these days. You can call that progress. So the mitigations, at least in the mobile phone operating systems and partly in the PC operating systems, do seem to work in the sense that you need more than one exploit to reach your target. The Kaspersky talk about the exploit chain, that was kind of the upper end, but they did need 4 or 5. So that is quite normal these days. On the other hand, the costs caused by incidents are on the rise. I think it was about 500,000 that one statistic mentioned, that you had to pay extra if something happened to you. And what I found interesting was that it said somewhere that involving the authorities actually was helpful. And that, I think, is worth an applause. I don't know what your definition for helpful is. Well, less money to be paid in the sense of economic benefit. You save about 500,000 if you involve the authorities. So there is a kind of, it balances out inflation in a way. I didn't believe that. 90% of the German companies have built reserves for ransomware. Do you know any company that's done that? We're not talking backup now. We're looking financial reserves. Okay, not 90%, but a few have shown up. But would the people here know this? Do you know a company that has backups? Have they been tested? Okay. That was about half. Good point. We know that it's not working, did someone in the audience say. We didn't ask for that. And I've read in the paper that the WhatsApp grandchild trick is still a thing. Who can believe that? Okay. Who cannot believe it? Okay, a dozen cannot believe it. My child this year, my big child, has has twice received the message, "Hey Dad, I lost my phone, can you write me a WhatsApp?" And that was such a grin that they had on their face. How are we going to respond? Not over the top? Right. So a very relaxed kind of response, and start up that Linux VM where we were going to start the website for the Fisher, and we were imagining what we would do. We will invent a bank, and we'll write, "Son, the bank has written to us. This is the new PIN." Do you think that they've ever responded? They're not doing good follow-ups, or they're all busy. Okay, just to point out again, if you have older relatives that might receive grandchild trick messages that might relate to you, agree a code word with them. Very, very old school. Have a piece of paper that says, "If I want something from you, I will use this code word." And don't agree it over the phone. That helps. A very simple method. And if someone calls and says, "Hi, I'm calling from Windows." Well, then the answer has to be, "Well, and what's the outlook like?" But do something, because otherwise your inheritance might not be secure.
What was that strange number? It was one of those funny numbers from a study or statistics. Big companies have, on average, 11,000 internal security breaches. I think those are the ones they know about. You mean the average company has 11,000 Windows installations? I think most companies would be glad if they knew how many security breaches they had, or how many computers. Also another zinger, fake phishing of a CVE number, which is probably valid by now, but was invented in the meantime, I think, where people were told that there would be a CVE for WordPress, I think. Nothing is sacred. Nothing is sacred to people, not even CVEs. Terrible. And we had that years ago. We predicted that years ago, that the hardware manufacturers would look for alternative models of monetization and stuff, and then just deliver Androids pre-infected. All right, the number of 9 million, I believe that's missing at least 10. If you look into the Asian areas, if you buy an Android phone there, they sell millions. If you look at those, they have very, very interesting things in them, very adventurous. And the actual interesting thing about this statement, by now, you can deliver Android phones pre-infected without the user bringing back the phone immediately, saying, "Ah, the battery goes down after 1 hour." So it's progress in the wrong direction. Well, I guess it's good for the planet if they use less electricity. And on the other hand, the story, what does the malware do the whole time? And the answer is, it is rented out. It does whatever people do on a billing basis of minutes. I guess we have to move quicker. We're a bit behind time. Well, looking back on this year, we realized that the war against people paying ransomware has started, which we think is good because it's financing the wrong people. I'm skeptical that it's going to lead anywhere, because if somebody wants to pay, he will find a way. I mean, the question is only if they need to hire a service provider in the middle. The question is rather, does the victim believe that payment will improve anything? Linus and Kai had the talk about how much does the payment improve anything, for instance, in terms of time, or how much does it make worse? Well, chat online safety bill in the UK, look at the talks. Cyber war. I read in the news in the meantime that cyber war did not happen. I don't know what the people think cyber war is. Probably burning server farms, exploding servers. Well, but there was some ruckus. Well, the war in Ukraine did start with a cyber attack, but it's continuing the whole time. There is a parallel city. Recently, one of the biggest Ukraine mobile phone providers was hit. They could not control the attack, so they had to shut down. But after having a roaming agreement with the other providers, the users were not left in the dark completely. But the intensity with which systems are fought are rather increased than decreased. And the interesting thing about that is that what really helps is resilience. Alternative methods that also make sure that despite a big attack, you can still continue at least somehow. Well, it gets funny if you look at how many insurances will try to not pay next year, because they say those were the Russians and that's why it was war and we're not paying for war. Higher power, higher intervention, and war are excluded. But the insurance of Merck that suffered a few years ago tried to pull that trick, and they did not succeed in court.
Yay!
Which means insurances against cyber damages will not be sold anymore. You can't really get any, at least if you want to insure significant sums. Who of you noticed that there's a digital driver's license now? Ah, at least two dozens of you. Who has a digital driver's license? Who knows someone that has one? Who would hire someone who has one anyway? Well, we are for education, and that's why we welcome this. I think you have to say that. I mean, I did this. Who did it? No, who knows someone who did this license? Ah, that many. Well, I did that once without the training, just the test. It's quite interesting, but it has to continue. And if you think about it, the question is, what has to be the goal of this digital driver's license? That in the end, when you passed, you can apply immediately for what? Well, for the Bundes-CISO, whatever that is, and then it's good enough, the digital license. Attack LLMs? Yeah. Let's go. All right. This year, well, actually even last year already, with the rise of LLMs, the criminal uses, let's say, started, of course, starting with writing phishing mails, which made this phishing psychologist superfluous. But what we're missing is a fancy, well, attack LLM, which is useful as a Metasploit backend, and that goes out on its own. Maybe we just didn't find that one yet. Did anyone see any? What's it called? Okay. Louder! Now he backs off. Well, the source internet, we're going to find it. Google is testing out PCs in the office without internet. That is what I call innovation. Back to the typewriter. A lovely big thing was the things via MoveIT and Go Anywhere, file sharing, crazy impact. Yeah. Well, just infrastructure scamming is not enough anymore. You have to know what you're dealing with, and you need to lock everything up. Well, on the end, these services, the MoveIT, which was like a customer migration thingy, it's prototypical for what's happening, what's added as an attack UI. You don't really know what they're doing, and the problem is encapsulated in contract details, and those are not helping. Because the bank or whatever that used that service provider had issue with the data, maybe small Linux providers. Well, impressive, maybe. Looking back, there was a hospital in the US, and in Germany, the bicycle company Profete, which were backed into a corner, also because of the pandemic or the deployment of SAP. And they also had a cyber incident, and then they had to shut down. And this hospital also shut down. They filed for bankruptcy. And that shows that how far it's already developed. They were backed into a corner, and it didn't need much. But the question is how often that's going to continue, that people fall off the cliff. Cyber bankruptcy is going to become trending sports. Lockbit also exists for macOS now. Yay! All right. After Linux for ESXi and after Windows. Did you notice that with the Google Authenticators? Well, that's a beautiful example for how far you should not go to turn hardware into software. The authenticator thingies, which were a hardware token in the past, which showed you the numbers, and that was turned into an app. Well, on a more or less secure device, and Google started to go out and say, hey, we can do that better. We can copy the secrets into the cloud. Right. But what they tried was to just mitigate the user's pain. Because at least in our hackspace, we have a lot of people that want their phones recovered and are ready to take on a lot of pain in the form of things they need to do for it. And it's not that they don't have a backup of their photos, but they have an authenticator on it, of which they do not have a backup. And that's, as a tip, whatever you have as authenticators for two-factor authenticators, always have two and put one on a safe place. So you're never fully naked when you drop your phone into the toilet. And you also have to write into your password manager where you put the backup of your two-factor authenticator. And then you need a diagram where how those things are all connected. And Yeah, or NuWiKey, but is one enough? Well, one is not enough. You need to sell those things in pairs, exclusively. Everything else, yeah. For whom of you does your employer pay hardware keys like YubiKey? Ah, those are at least 20%. I think I'm impressed. Yeah, better than nothing. Okay. Well, Citrix, we already said. However, Citrix Bleed this year, again, but that happened quite rarely in the past few years. Patching was not enough. You had to do a lot more. For instance, clean away old sessions from your devices and so on. And I think that's something that's going to increase even more if we're not lucky. And after patching things, you still have to take care about cleaning up sessions, recreating app tokens, and all those things you can add to your checklist. Patch it first and then turn it off. Well, if that is enough, well, Tetra. There was a talk on the Congress. Tetra is the institutional, government radio system, and we knew this years ago, but now the public took notice, so we were impressed that a system as old as that is becoming public after all. And talking about hardware, the company Barracuda was able. This is real hardware. You could not patch that. They wanted to have their security email gateways back because you cannot patch them anymore. They were that broken. I'm completely impressed.
So, admittedly, it's not very sustainable, of course. That's true. Electronic scrap causing that through software, although that is a transport as well, I'm sure. The Microsoft also deserves an applause. Well, they deserved it by us not believing that the cloud is secure. Or what do they earn an applause for? For the fact that Heise was ignored by them, trying to find out what really happened. And they had this questionnaire for everyone. You have to fight back somehow, don't you? Well, of course, if you lose the key, you lose the key, right? You just have to do it. Well, just as a hint, we're not going to name names. A packet manager was investigated that had 451 typo squatting malware packages. That is a problem. You have to be aware of that. That remains an issue. Right. We did used to say the host is secure, and now it turns out Novell is secure as well. With host, we are talking mainframe. No one's laughing. No one really knows what Novell is anymore. Does anyone use Novell still? Five people using Novell? Okay. Okay, I'm not going to ask further. Whoever had a Novell certificate? Well, we could start a club. It wouldn't be a large one. Right, that was crazy. And what we consider benevolent interest, that is the EU Cyber Resilience Act, that might be passed next year. And as usual with the EU, it's not just going to be all sunshine, but at least a few rather okay things that we have been calling for a long time that have will be in there. For example, the obligation to keep security patches available for a certain while to kind of solve this electronic waste through software problem, because you might have devices that would work but you don't have any patches for, that is reduced. And of course the thing with this hardware isn't hardware anymore but software, and because so frequently you think, oh, this hardware is so good, but the operating system sadly is obsolete, no more update. And now we're starting with the Windows 11 upgrade. There'll be many reasonable PCs to install Linux on, right? Right. And now? So, all hardware is turning evil because it's software, and software isn't aging as much. Software betrays secret and therefore is evil. But maybe the question is, might there be some light at the end of the tunnel, or light in the tunnel, or I don't know, because it might be less ignorant, less arrogant. Have you heard about the suspicion that fewer people with dark skin were dying of COVID because pulse oximeters weren't working for them, so more dark skin people were dying of COVID? There was a kind of, there was an investigation, I think, in the UK about this, where that was the suspicion. Who remembers these large headlines that maybe the Apple Watch might not work with tattoos or a dark skin, or not work as well? And, well, at least this, right? How large is the audience where this pulse oximeter maker is testing on? Maybe they're not testing on enough people, but if sensors are then driven to the masses more through modern consumer hardware, then you might hope that the software and hardware might become less ignorant because it might yield more user feedback on this. And maybe that might go back into things that are used in hospitals and such. That would be good. But what's really missing is, especially with all these smartwatches and so, that you can set the measurement frequency. I would like to have more battery usage and more data density. That would be a feature I would like to have. And you always have this thing about progressing technology versus magic. It's said to be indistinguishable from it by the layperson. And if you go further with this, you ask, what then is a modern curse? Umlauts in your name. These German special vowels. We were thinking your birthday on Leap Day. Correct. Born on the 1st of January 1970, born on the 29th of February. Or your surname is Null, or N-A-N. If the surname is just one letter, an apostrophe in your surname, or these special characters, terrible, exactly. And who intends by this next time they grow older to kind of prevent the 29th of February through a medical intervention? Who would like to change their birth date for the stated reasons? Okay, maybe not. But this is it now. How many of you will like to enter on a website that they are born on the 1st of January 1970? Yeah. Quite a quarter of, about a quarter of you. But aren't you afraid now that you might become an edge case?
Yeah.
Right.
Genau.
Right. Exactly. We believe that this will lead to consequences. Well, there's this phenomenon that more and more processes are automatized in businesses and government bodies, and so there will be problems coming up in more cases, edge cases, for example, that are not really well modeled by automatism. So people, if even the case handler can't tell you if what happens if you have this extra application for more money, these things will increase, and these edge cases are always bad for profit. Automatization is always done for having things more automatic without human intervention, because humans cost per hour, cost money per hour, and therefore we think it's time that as the legislator you should think about these things, asking from which size a business should be expected to look after these edge cases. And maybe if that's just 0.1%, but with 50 million users, maybe that is quite a relevant number of people. And I think these kind of negotiations are now happening through the media, because these edge cases are not working and these poor people, you know, that kind of story. And the number of these press reports is rising, but there is no systematic solution. And we believe that a systematic solution should be strived for. Exactly. The next item, well, we have this tradition here that we like to burn a few ideas before someone can patent them. And in this case, if we see how things are going to continue with these LLMs, it might be foreseeable that LLMs are going to talk with each other. So, a simple case, a machine learning model writes the stock market report, and the stock market report is read by another machine learning program for stock speculation, restaurant reservation, LLMs, call a restaurant for reserving a table, and on the other side an LLM is listening that will take the reservation. And you think, okay, regarding sustainable IT, burn less CPU cycles, it would be quite good to have this tidlit in the call that says, hey, it's me, I am an LLM too. Hello, I'm Jason, how can I help? And then these might just figure out quickly what the API is and what transaction is to be done without taking the detour through natural language.
Or
you do it as a language selector. Hello, how would you like to speak with me? English, German, French, or JSON over HTTP? Right. We are already afraid of over-caring helicopter algorithms that only want our best, right? Did you just say car sales? No, every car. Every car? Yeah, cars are very caring these days. Yes, you cannot get out here. You don't want to get out here. And I, as your driving device, want to suggest that you do not go up. Right. Sadly, we believe that this is going to be on the increase because fishing and stuff, grandchild trick and such. So you cannot spend all your money at once, even if you really, really urgently want to. And if that happens, banks will then reverse these transactions because they think, oh, this looks like fraud. And the machine learning model says, you don't normally do this. And then you might be in a situation where you are being defrauded through that. What was this like with the car sales thing? That is how this trick works, right? But, well, it's not clear whether that's fraud. What was the name? Violet Blue. She had it happen to her. She sold her car. And the buyer didn't have enough cash. So an app took care of it. And she received the money. The app said, here is the money. And she said, okay, here's the key. The person drove away. And then the whole thing was reversed. Because, well, that guy doesn't normally transfer that much money. So take care of that. Be wary of that. And one thing that we noticed, decentralized systems, especially in the administrative, in the government area, that are decentralized for good reasons, registration authorities or telecommunication surveillance or monitoring, that through technical centralization unhinge the decentralization because they have joint IT systems that are supposed to be created to save costs or deal with the lack of staff, mitigate that, and those most often are the reasons, but that leads to that centralization. You have to ask, who's now actually going to pocket that centralization dividend? Is that used for improving the service, more resilience, making it more secure? Or isn't the centralization provider simply going to have the benefit and everything is as bad as it ever was, just more centralized? So, shadow centralization has various dimensions too. You don't just have a centralization in the sense of centralization, but also monoculturalization, or how should you call it? You can just say, okay, we all now have our own providers, but if we all use the same software monoculture, then the attacker still just wants to, just needs to have one phishing package to and deploy that, and they then bag them all. Right. So centralization dividend is actually not free of cost. You have to invest from that. Business fields.
Traut sich noch jemand hier ohne Coach zu patchen?
Is someone here still brave enough to patch without a coach? Who is tired of patching? Be honest. Who is tired of patching? Okay. Who knows someone with patch tiredness? Yeah, exactly. Oh God, they want us all to install yet another patch on my phone, whatever. Okay. And we need more people. The industry needs more people that tells people, to tell people, Chaka, you can do it. Patching works, even with you, even for you. It will work until it won't work, right? For the wealthy and the very paranoid, of course, the workaround coach. Because the workaround is to do what the patch is supposed to be for, meaning that you may have to roll back the workaround after you've patched. So that's the advanced way of having to do it. So you can simply charge twice the rate. Also, the software succession planner. We do have this phenomenon that in many places software modules, libraries, plugins are in use, where no one in the business actually has an idea of how solid the structure is that this piece of software develops. Is it that the people that develop the software, is it a team of a single enthusiast? Is it a team? Is there any kind of financing for sustainable development? So quite often you have the problem that these businesses don't just know which software they are using and on which computers, but how fragile the whole ecosystem actually is. Yeah, so who remembers Log4j? Yeah, everyone, okay. And Log4j was the good. There was someone who was maintaining it and patched it. So that was almost the ideal scenario. The more funny one is if that is not the case. And that, well, so, software succession planner. What do we do if this software is not maintained anymore? Are we going to maintain it ourselves? Or are we looking for a plan B from the start? Sorry? Is the state going to pay? Well, that's actually true. We have this tech fund that is just there for these underfinanced open source projects. I think that is worth an applause. Hack back at home. We have dealt with the grandchild trick already, and we need a counter-trick toolkit for those that don't have as much time and don't have Linux VMs at home. So they need something. So Google Gegenskript in German for calls. And that is how, as someone who is called, should deal with the person that is calling you. And that is really funny. So look at that. Someone knows it. Very good. And we need this for this grandchild as a toolkit. So think of something. But we, of course, need it in a legally safe way, right? Not just to make sure that we're not going to serve malware. We want to do it like these people that embed these credit card payments do and say, this is not my credit card payment, but I'm going to buy it in, and the malware has to come be embedded by someone else and serve from there, from them. So think of something. We are quite open regarding technology here. Then the border case IT historian and or forensics person. When COVID started, the World Health Organization told us that this was not going to be transmitted through the air. And then there was this article in Wired that tried to explain it. And then the first time I read that there is something like a medicine historian, people that look why something was aerosol and something was a droplet, where these terms were defined, how. And they were digging and digging and digging and saying, well, back then, 1800 and something, someone defined the limit between right, like this. So this is why this is an aerosol and this is a droplet, and All these are boring excuses, but it is interesting, at least for entertainment, and in IT perhaps it might be easier. It is related to the software succession planner. So what actually happened? Right, so not just on the level of the black box, the 737 MAX SAP that was kind of driven to the wall. But how did this happen historically? What can we learn if we want to learn from it? Do we need a recall for software packages from 1987? 1987. What we do need, what we can foresee, is with increasing presence of machine learning systems, is drones, especially in the military context. We do see a change of camouflage, because it's not mainly about camouflaging for human observers, but also machines, which try to identify tank-shaped, artery-shaped objects, and how do you actually manage to kind of hide them in a way that they won't be recognized. I don't know if anyone's tried unicorns yet, but we do this as a transport. Exactly.
Very new field for the makeup industry. And we're thinking, well, it's already foreseeable. The big tech companies obviously gave up the fight against ransomware because they all invest in memory systems that you can write only once, which you cannot erase, like sculpt into glass with lasers, stuff like that, that can never be overwritten. So you can build a list and just add. It's not very sustainable, but at least you can be sure that you have your data at least until the point before they were compromised, before the backup. Well, if you want to encrypt those or not, you need to think through before, but everything into blockchain. We need five blockchains. Wow. Well, go and sculpt. All right, with that, we let you go. Wish you a happy New Year's 1984 and say thanks a lot. And that was it from our translation angels. Sebalis and Zenana have a lovely end of the Congress, and goodbye.